Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The year is 1995. I assume late summer, early fall, judging by the patriotic flags and football being played. Mac, where were you at the time of the Romanoffs leaving Ohio?
Yeah, so they gave you that tidbit. There were some Friday night lights there, it looked like, right? So it's probably
but it could have been early preseason.
Fall, September-ish. Maybe yeah, preseason. It was full stadium, though.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say probably September 95, which I believe we were starting second grade.
Is it second or third?
I think second, right? Because okay. We would have been six in 95, and I think that's second grade.
Yeah.
Second grade, I was a real bastard child. Mm-hmm. When I was super young.
Jeff Santos.
Yeah, to the point where my mom had to bring me to a counselor to figure out what was wrong, what my deal was.
You can't talk, Chunky, the mouth on the... Don't come over by me! Stay over there! Figure out what you do! You had all summer to think of it.
That is an actual quote from Jeff's mom yelling at him. She used to call him Chunky.
Figure out what you do.
You had all summer.
Yeah, no, she still gets mad if people call me Chunky. She's a friend of my mom. No, I am. It's a truth. I might have told this story before, but this guy's office where my mom brought me to seek counseling, he had this cactus plant on the desk. And I had to have been 4 or 5 years old. And I remember him asking him about it, and he told me not to touch it. Because it's a cactus and I'll get hurt. Yeah. And because he told me not to touch it, I fucking touched it, started crying. It hurt. I had a big boo-boo. So real lesson learned that day.
You're so stupid. I would say that myself, because you just asked me, hey, Goo, where was your mind at in the fall of 95?
Yeah, well, Goo.
Yeah.
Goo. Mm-hmm. Where was your mind at in September of 95?
So I assume I'm entering second grade or third grade. We haven't figured that out
kind
yet.
Of school for
kind
you?
Kind of school. I'm Lowell. Missing Donkey Kong Country because played it all summer.
Right, right.
I am faking whatever summer reading it was. I'm not sure what it was entering into second grade. Did you ever do summer reading?
Yeah, I was pretty on it. I was pretty studious.
I wasn't.
Up until high school. You know what it was? Once I discovered Spark Notes, I was never reading again. Why would I? I just saved myself 2 hours a night.
Once I discovered putting quotes around stuff and then citing my source, I was all set.
That was my whole college career.
That was all, that's all I had, man.
One goo, three, yeah.
Mac and Goo.
Just three.
Mac and Goo.
King of Queens.
Mac and Goo.
Meryl Streep.
Mac Goo.
Entertainment.
I am Goo.
And I am Mac.
And we are finally bringing you the podcast 2 years in the making-ish?
A year and a half. I think this was supposed to be early 2020, right? This was the original release date, maybe April or March of 2020, something like that.
Yeah.
And this was also supposed to kick off phase four. Of course, we're talking about Marvel's Black Widow, the latest and greatest, I guess,
Black
film
Widow
in the MCU.
Can we just talk about that song for a second with Iggy Azalea? Azalea?
Yeah, Azalea. Featuring who? I don't remember who it features.
I forget. That song is horrible.
Banger.
Horrible.
Goo, banger.
One of the worst charting songs I've ever heard.
Absolute banger.
No.
Goo.
It doesn't even make any sense.
Wrong. What do you mean? She's a Black Widow.
Baby.
This is the first MCU movie we've gotten since Spider-Man Far From Home.
We've been waiting 2 years for an MCU movie and 2 days for a new MCU property.
Of course, this year we've gotten now 3 Marvel Disney Plus shows. The third one is almost complete. So I think there's a little argument to make here. You could say this comes before Loki because Loki hasn't had its finale yet. But regardless, we've gotten WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Spider-Man Far From Home was the last movie we got in the MCU.
Yeah.
And so now that the Disney Plus shows have sort of ramped up, especially with how we think Loki's ending. I feel like we're back, right? We're back into the swing of Marvel.
Yep.
Eternals comes out in what, like 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is. We're officially back. We're back, baby.
Yeah, and just before we get into the review of this movie, I do want to just point out very quickly, this is set after Civil War. It literally picks up right after Civil War. It's before Infinity War. It leads into Infinity War. And I would just say that if we want to do more of these tweener movies, I think they need to have a little bit more of the breadcrumbs leading into the future.
Let me kickflip 180 off of that.
Do a tall bird off of that. I think that's a move.
Do more of these tweener movies instead of the shows, because this is better.
Oh, I disagree. Well, I think it's better than one of the shows, but worse than two of the shows. But also agree. Not bad. I'll tell you right now, not bad.
In fact, very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Little peek behind the curtain here, a little spoiler free for the first 4 minutes. This is a very good movie.
Yeah.
This is a very good movie. There's not much wrong with it. It just sort of flattens out towards the end.
I would say a very solid movie, a very, I'm not going to say safe, but it, you know, it knows what it wants to do. It gets in, gets out a little too long, maybe, but it's a very technically sound movie, especially a very technically sound Marvel movie.
So that's sort of my point about this carrot sign facing this over the shows. It gets in, it gets out, and maybe even if this is a tidbit too long, both of the prior shows have been way too long. Way too much time wasted. There's really not much time wasted here.
Well, here's the issue, say, with like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, is that it's either too long or it's too short. Like it either didn't go deep enough into certain things or it should have cut certain things out.
So yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier was more pick a lane.
Yeah.
Whereas WandaVision wasted 7 episodes.
Didn't waste 7. I would say that you could have compressed it into 5 maybe, but you didn't waste 7.
I mean, that could have been a movie like this and it would have been much better.
I enjoyed 4 of those episodes that you hate, so...
All right. Goo, Black Widow. This is a rated PG-13 action, adventure, and sci-fi with a runtime of 133 minutes. That's 2 hours, 13 minutes. Didn't feel like it. Actually, it was a pretty good breeze. On Rotten Tomatoes, this is 81% from the critics, 94% from the audience right now. And again, this has been out for 15 hours. So that 94% is the people that really wanted to go see Black Widow like us.
Who were craving a movie, who wanted a movie right now. It's my money and I need it now.
I don't really see that dropping lower than 5 or 6 percentage points though. So I think this is going to end up 88 and 89, 90.
I think it ends up around like an 86 or an 87.
No, I don't think it'll drop that much. Especially
but I also
think
the critics jumps up to like an 84.
Maybe. We've seen so much recently with all the movies, the bigger movies that have gotten released, whether at home or in the theater, the fans have been super friendly too. Like Justice League had like a 95, right? So people are really starving for those movies. On Metacritic, this is a 68, which is about the middle of all of the Marvel movies. The best ones are all low to high 70s. This is right smack dab in the middle.
Fits perfectly with May.
Written by Eric Pearson, who did quite a bit of Agent Carter, the television series. He also wrote Thor Ragnarok. Big win for him there. But then he did Godzilla vs. Kong. So real mixed bag from Eric Pearson. But I'll be honest here, the writing was not an issue in this movie.
No, and definitely also, I mean, he knows how to write for action, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. We also got the whole story by credits here for Jack Schaefer. She did WandaVision. She was the whole, other than, you know, Feige, she was kind of the head of WandaVision there. And then Ned Benson, who's done nothing we know of.
Got a real lame name, right?
Yes.
Hi.
More like Nerd Benson.
My name's Ned Benson. I'm here to pick up my prescription.
For nerdiness.
Yeah.
This is directed by Kate Shortland. And she's just done like a few indie projects. So I don't really know how she was brought in, where they drew the line, like who she knows, what they looked at to say this is for her. Because if you're doing like indie movies, this is a huge step up to like a big budget action film, which is what this was.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the IMDb synopsis is horrible for this. So we're using the Rotten Tomatoes one today. Natasha Romanoff confronts the darker parts of her ledger when a dangerous conspiracy with ties to her past arises. Pursued by a force that will stop at nothing to bring her down, Natasha must deal with her history as a spy and the broken relationships left in her wake long before she became an Avenger. And to Goo's point, this fills in Natasha's timeline between Civil War and Infinity War. It kind of tells you where she was at and how she got from point A to point B.
And say if you really wanted to know what happened in Budapest.
Budapest.
Usht. maybe you're a little let down. It doesn't exactly line up with the way they were talking about it during the Avengers.
No, no, no. That's a different incident. And they also point to that when they're at the safe house and she's like, what kind of bullets make that? And she goes, it's not bullets, it's arrows.
Yeah, it's
there was a prior incident in Budapest, probably when they secured that safe house in the first place. So that's a whole separate other story, which we did think we were going to get in this movie, but that was a separate thing.
So you're telling me that the point of this movie was not to make up for the Budapest incident?
No, totally separate thing.
How many Budapest incidents are there?
Well, she got a safe house there. You got a Aaron Hernandez flop house. There's going to be all sorts of things going on there. This movie stars Scarlett Johansson as Natasha Romanoff / Black Widow. Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova. I turned her into an Italian woman.
Very
good
in this.
Yeah, she was great. She was really, really good. Great hairstyles in this movie, too.
Yeah, very nice braids. Her and her mother
great braids.
There. Milena, great.
Played by Rachel Weisz, who I think Rachel Weisz is like 52. She looks incredible.
She looks fantastic.
Looks really, really
good.
Had
a very Michelle Pfeiffer type of feel to her, right?
Whereas, like, yes.
Older lady, but, you know, knows what she's doing.
Right, right. And then, of course, we also have David Harbour as Alexei / Red Guardian.
Yep.
He was really good.
Things really kicked up a notch when he got in there, and the movie kept on getting a little more comical as they added more characters in, and it really helped the pacing out. Because if you stayed with, like, this dark, dreary story the entire time, it might have gotten a little too heavy, but it added just enough levity to keep it fun.
And this is why I'm liking Loki more than the prior two Disney Plus shows. It has this lighthearted tone that all the Marvel movies have beneath it. Mm-hmm. Whereas WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier didn't really have that. They tried, and especially they tried with Sam and Bucky, but it just didn't hit the way Loki's doing and the way this movie does.
Kat Dennings is a laugh riot a minute.
That's the first time you've used her real name in a long time.
Meow.
Here we also have Ray Winstone as Dreykov. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really good, too. He was great
Good. Yeah.
Really good bastard character.
Yeah.
And then we have O.T. Fogbenle as Mason. He was the guy who gets things. He's the private contractor, gets the plane, gets the helicopter, yada, yada. And then we have William Hurt reprising his role as Secretary Ross, a.k.a. General Thunderbolt Ross.
Everyone's favorite character. He's back.
Did you think we were going to get a Red Hulk thing here?
I thought we were going to get something because there was red chemicals afoot. I thought maybe that was going to lead into something, you know, just to get a little more breadcrumbs spread around here to figure out what's happening in these movies. And then, of course, you know, lots with the Sokovia Accords. Love that. Maybe they were going to tease who wrote them. I don't know.
Yeah, basically this movie was written for you, right? Everything tied to the Sokovia Accords is a goo thing.
Yeah.
That's all we really need to know as far as the cast goes. Those are the main players. And I thought everyone we just talked about was great.
Yeah.
Specifically, Florence Pugh as Yelena, Natasha's sister. I thought she was phenomenal.
I think that Florence Pugh and David Harbour were, I thought, the two funnest aspects of the movie. You know, getting a new Black Widow type of character and then the guy who takes himself very seriously, but he's a joke. Mm-hmm. But I also thought this was Scarlett Johansson's best movie. I thought this was the best Natasha Romanoff movie. But also having said that, many of her scenes were stolen from her.
That's probably a fair point. And sort of what they've been doing with these Disney Plus shows, right, is giving characters that didn't get enough screen time prior their due justice or their due diligence, doing them justice. Like Wanda and Vision in WandaVision, Sam and Bucky got their due justice, due diligence. I'm fucking that whole thing up.
Yeah.
And Falcon and Winter Soldier. And Loki's getting a whole goddamn thing in Loki, which is great. And this acts as that same thing here. Not that Natasha really needed rounding out because the sacrifice she makes in Endgame, right, sort of makes her whole anyways.
Oh, spoiler!
But this gives her that underbelly that we never really had to her before. And also still plays up that little dark past that we have. We got a little bit more of that that we didn't have either. So just in general, a really good story for Natasha's character.
Yeah, so I would say that before we get into the Octagon, before we get into heavy spoilers, first things first, this is a theater movie.
Especially the first like 80, 90 minutes. It has a very Bond, Bourne-like feel.
Yeah.
It doesn't go full, either of those two things. And they even, Natasha's watching a Bond movie at one point, so obviously they're paying homage to that.
I think it's Moonraker, yeah.
But the scene, pretty close to the beginning, where her and Yelena are running on the rooftop, that was like straight out of a Bourne or Bond movie. That was awesome.
Yeah.
The pacing to this, before we got to the last like 20, 30 minutes, was phenomenal. I never checked my phone, nothing like that. I was like really along for the ride.
You're in a theater. You shouldn't be checking your phone regardless.
Yeah, but when I'm sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. And to that point, we were just talking about David Harbour. I'm not going to say I'm back in on David Harbour, but I was kind of over the Harbour thing, right? He was playing the same character for a while.
Didn't love Hellboy. Things, I didn't think Hellboy was his fault. But then, of course, Stranger Things season 3, I thought he was one of the worst parts of it. All he did was yell.
He found it again here. He found it again here, and so he was enjoyable. Goo, Black Widow was originally set to open phase 4. So it's still the first movie in phase 4, but it was originally set to open phase 4 and sort of be a bit of a ground setter, palate cleanser idea. And I thought, had this come first, it would have been the perfect opening to phase 4. But of course, instead, we got WandaVision, then Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, and now this.
I think it would have been a cleaner open for phase 4. I still like what WandaVision did, but I also would have liked this if it just came out in the chronological order, say, after Civil War.
Sure, right, yeah. Right. So that would have worked too. And like upon an MCU rewatch, you're probably going to watch this.
Oh, yeah, no, I would
right
say...
Right before Infinity War.
Yeah, I would say that if... So say if you haven't seen any of these movies and you're like, I want to pick this up. Black Widow just came out. Where do I watch this? You watch this after Civil War. You don't wait until all the other stuff is out.
Yeah, or maybe right before Infinity War, because I don't know if you want to... Yeah, I guess you could watch right after Civil War,
yeah, because would you watch it before or after Ragnarok? I'd watch it before Ragnarok, because both of them lead up to...
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Infinity War.
So instead, this ends up being fourth in line after the three shows. And I guess you could even argue third, like I was alluding to earlier, because Loki hasn't had its finale yet. In the way that's setting up, that could be unreal. Like, that could for sure be better than this WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I don't want to talk too much about Loki right now. We'll talk about that next week. Maybe next Friday. We haven't discussed it yet, but we'll figure it out. I'm a little concerned because Hiddleston said that the two big episodes, the two mind-blowing episodes, are episodes 4 and 5. So I'm kind of like taking a step back and like expecting something a little bit softer as the final episode of the season. Like nothing that's going to blow my mind, and it's just going to lead into the next season.
Yeah, I hope he's going for an okey-doke there. And we also have to remember, originally when these were all announced, they said Loki was going to be multiple seasons, right? So it's probably going to be a little bit of a blue balls finale.
Yeah.
But still, the way the fifth episode ended, it's setting up for something great.
Blue ice troll balls, right? Because he's a, yeah, he's a little ice baby. Smoked him.
Smashed him.
So I think that we're all right now in the position, post-COVID, post, you know, maybe we've all gained a little bit of weight. We're all Alexei trying to put the Red Guardian outfit on. We're all him.
So true.
I have never felt more incompatico with a Marvel movie than seeing him trying to buckle up those pants.
I was actually a little disappointed when he comes out and he doesn't look outrageous in it, right? I wanted it to be like a huge belly thing going on.
Yeah.
Almost a Santa Claus-esque.
Well, I was hoping that they would do
it. Fit too well still.
What I would have to do, like say if my shorts don't fit me, I can't button it and I have to fold the top in and then just hope that the zipper, you know, holds my pants up.
What? Wear a belt.
I could wear a belt, but you don't wear a belt with shorts. You don't wear a black belt with salmon shorts.
Do you have a white belt?
Look at Liberace over here with his white belts.
See, I think your issue is you don't have any golf attire. Golf attire That's makes right. up for a lot of the in-between.
And
I
golf attire is kind of stretchy, belt. Right? A little
yeah,
more
yeah,
giving.
Yeah. Breathing, more moisture wicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, super forgiving. Very yeah. forgiving. Especially as a larger fellow.
But here's the whole thing. None of my fun time summer shirts fit me anymore.
Wow.
And it's not just because my arms are huge. It's because it's busting open at the seams like a fucking sausage.
That's the best, but as an Italian, right? That's the best compliment you could ever get. You look like a sausage casing.
The gabagool. So I did think that this movie was, you know, it was a side mission. It did fill in some of the blank on Natasha, but really didn't fill in all of the blanks. Also, it was just more of a movie to introduce Yelena, which I think is going to pay huge dividends in the future because she can do several different things with several different teams. It does give us the whereabouts of where she is after Civil War, in between Infinity War. And like you said, you believe it's better than any of the D-plus shows. I think it's right in line with them. Like when I'm looking at my hot dog rating, say if I have WandaVision 12, this is like 13 or 14. Like it's yeah, right yeah, along so, those lines.
Right. No, I agree. It's sort of in that same vein, in that same tier, maybe slightly above for me. But I definitely left the theater thinking, I for sure, especially having time removed from those shows,
yeah.
I for sure like this than either of those other two shows.
Having time removed, I think, from this movie, I think Halloween Factor, not to jump into our award-winning octagon, but Halloween Factor, I think this might Halloween because I think it might be a little forgettable, but coming out of the theater one day later, 2 days later, the action in the movie is what puts it over the top.
Yeah, and that's why I think that's exactly why it won't Halloween, because in the past, all of the Marvel movies with the most action haven't Halloweened because they're super rewatchable. You don't get bogged down in plot. You don't get bogged down in dialogue. It's just fun to watch.
But I think the best ones also have a great story to accompany it. And I think this one has a good story, but not great.
Ant-Man is insanely rewatchable, and that doesn't have a good story.
Ant-Man is insanely rewatchable because it is fun, and Paul Rudd is just an absolute delight.
Yelena is a delight here. It's very much going to be rewatchable on that scale. I like Ant-Man more, or in this sort of the same.
Speaking of Ant-Man, the villain in that movie kind of stinks, and the villain that is shown to us in the trailers, the Taskmaster in this movie, also kind of stinks.
Taskmaster's fine, but he's not she's not. You know, they're not the real villain here, right?
It's spoiler. Dracoff.
It's Dracoff.
Spoiler.
It's told you from the beginning. We didn't even talk about Taskmaster. I didn't even tell you who Taskmaster was. Taskmaster. I keep saying masker.
Taskmaster just goes around and they put masks on people.
It's not a mirror villain. It's
technically. Technically, it is a complete mirror villain. It mirrors the moves of what everyone does.
That is not the villain. It's the villain's subcontractor, right? It's the villain's right-hand man.
Which I think is going to be a huge waste of a cool character that they could have used in the future. That's all.
Not Taskmaster's not great. They weren't really going to ever find a spot for Taskmaster.
I think they messed up on the backstory of Taskmaster, and that's why it wasn't great. It could be better in the future. I'm just saying.
No, I didn't mind that at all. I love the idea of Natasha toppling a past, right? Defeating a ghost of Christmas past, which we haven't really had in most of the Marvel movies. We haven't really had that.
We've had it in a lot of them. The Ghost of Christmas Past, Black Panther, Iron Man 1, the other Iron Man, the other Iron Man. He generally, for the most part, I think we just unraveled a little something here. Tony Stark is the Scrooge of this universe.
No. Whatever you just said, wrong. I only half listened.
And then he fights the Ghost of Christmas Future in Thanos.
You are not understanding.
Scrooge!
You're not picking up what I am putting down.
I think you're putting down the wrong thing. I think that's the issue.
No, I've already placed it down.
Let's now play our award-winning segment that we've done for all of these movies and every property ever, This or That. Is it this? Or is it that?
This or that. That.
There we go. Okay, this or that. I like this comparison because I have one hot dog ahead of the other. And so this or Captain Marvel, technically set in the same year, 1995, for a little bit.
I thought Marvel was like 93.
94. I think it was 94 because they have the script from Mallrats.
Okay.
So the same time period. So This or That with Captain Marvel, I prefer this by a dog. Maybe two dogs.
I prefer this by a dog, I think, as well. Yeah,
This
is better.
WandaVision, and I prefer WandaVision by a dog or two.
I prefer this, definitely.
This or That, the Captain America boys, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I prefer this by about four dogs. Maybe five dogs.
I prefer this for sure, too.
This or That, and another great comparison, Far From Home, and I have them even.
Really? Far From Home, I think, not substantially lower, but definitively in my mind, Marvel, WandaVision, and this above Far From Home. Far From Home, lower. Far From Home was such a letdown.
Also, Tom Holland is fighting one of the ghosts of Tony Stark's Christmas Past. Lots of ghosts of Christmas Past. That's what Marvel should be called now. The ghosts of Christmas Past.
Yes, phase four, ghosts of Christmas Past.
Mac, let's go ahead and get into the octagon and what the octagon is. For those of you who are tardy to the Mac and Goo party, we have 8 categories, sometimes 9, sometimes 100, who knows? But we just kind of throw a word out there and hey, for example, fun factor. What's the fun factor of this movie? How fun is this movie? and tons of action. Pretty funny for most of it. Very fun.
Yeah, very fun because of what you said. A lot of action and a decent amount of comic relief. And there wasn't really any like eye rolling jokes either. I felt like most of the jokes landed. There was only one or two hysterical jokes. Her talking about the pose fucking killed me.
That was very good.
It was a great joke.
The Russian accents were just good enough. Like
they
obviously weren't like the best things ever. And then you obviously question too, like if they all know Russian, why aren't they just speaking Russian?
Right.
But
right.
Also, you know, they were just good enough. And Yelena having the Russian accent while Natasha doesn't makes complete sense because Natasha was older when she was brought back to Cuba, brought back to Russia, whereas Yelena was younger, still learning a bit more of like the language. So she would pick up that dialect, that accent.
Yeah. And Yelena has spent her whole life in Mother Russia, whereas widow Natasha has been everywhere and been out of Russia for quite a long time at this point.
Well, plus I think she was around 6 or 7 when she went there too. So that would also play into
that's part of it. And plus, you know, it was this whole Madonna thing, right? Remember when Madonna moved to Britain with Guy Ritchie? And then like 2 years later, she had a British accent and everyone was like, you moved there when you were like 45. How do you now have a British accent?
She earned that accent.
The whole first two acts of this movie and part of the third act paced really well. A lot of fun. I think when we sort of get to the last 20 minutes, very cookie cutter and predictable.
Yeah.
But prior to that, a lot of fun.
And I mean, you kind of compare it to Bond, Satisfactor. You think it, you know, very Bond, very Bourne-like. And there is something in this movie that is extremely Bond-like that I don't love. And we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, you know, lots of action. Great pacing. Was very satisfying. We did find out a bit more of her life, but I would have liked a little bit more. So not quite to the full satisfaction, but pretty satisfactory.
Yeah, the satisfying part for me was that element. Her and Yelena escaping on the rooftops, the gotta get out of Dodge part of the movie, I really, really enjoyed because you can't, when you're trying to get out of Dodge in a story, you just can't waste time, right? So it was like 15, 20 minutes of just full on action, running, hiding. I really loved that portion of it. And I thought a pretty cool, not as good as Winter Soldier, but a nice little stairwell scene, right, in that Budapest apartment.
Barometer, was this movie boring?
No, it wasn't boring, but it has this weird effect where the first 100 minutes or so were flying so high, and then it kind of ramps down for the last little bit and gets a little more emotional. It has to, but it's not boring. It's just, it's a little uneven in that respect.
Pants, Tan City, Excite Bike Mania. Mac, did you like the part where the widows were choking each other?
Yeah, I thought we were going to get something else. You know, you didn't really know what that was going to lead to. I've seen a lot of videos where that has led to other stuff. My favorite part of the movie, and little spoilery, but I'm not going to say when it happens, in Winter Soldier, when Natasha removes the face, that was awesome. They do that here, and I thought that was awesome.
Well, also,
for some reason, I did not see it coming.
I was going to say, going into the movie, you knew it was going to come at some point.
Nope, never even thought
of it. It's one of her best tools. You knew at some point she was going to do a face switch. I wasn't exactly sure when.
I wish someone had texted me.
But when it happened, I was like, oh yeah, face switch.
Face switch.
Face switch. Face off. Aquator, is this movie better than Aquaman? Yes, it is. Halloween! Will this movie go down or up over time? I think it might go down a little bit.
Yeah, we're opposite here. I don't think it's going to go down at all because it is what it is. It's a fun action movie that's mostly inconsequential. It fills a void in Natasha's story. It does exactly what it needed to do. And we didn't have some sort of high expectations for it. It just sort of fits. It fits in well.
Next up is Max Credit Union.
Hello, Mac. This is William Hung. And you deserve so much credit. I wish you would mention Spice World on the show more.
And credit today is going, of course, to Florence Pugh as Yelena. She was an absolute delight. I thought her accent was the most believable out of any of the Russian accents. And I got a couple hearty laughs out of some of her lines, especially her talking about the poses. And she was pretty believable. And I think this is hard to do as like a smaller, attractive woman, because we just picture them, you know, it's the way it is, on a pedestal, right? Mm. It's hard to believe them as an action hero. Some have broken through, the Angelina Jolies. Scarlett's done it pretty well as Black Widow. And I thought she was pretty believable as a widow.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry,
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For those of you tardy to the Mac and Goo party, we rate everything on a 40 hot dog rating system. Mac, I will go first. I thought this movie was good to great, a little inconsequential. It had great action. I thought it did waste, say, like Taskmaster, but I did love the family aspect. And it was kind of like, hey, a little bit of like a mirror thing going on here. The movie starts out with a family dinner and then leading into the final act, get that family dinner. I like how, say, Yelena viewed the family versus how Natasha viewed the family versus how Alexei viewed the family. And I thought that kind of all ended up working out very, very well. And then I'm very interested to see specifically where one of these characters ends up, because I think the other ones are all going to be one-offs unless they do more of these in-between stories. And I do think it has a little bit of a Halloween factor and it might drop down, say, a dog or two. But right now, I am at 34 hot dogs. Yes?
Goo, I really, really enjoyed this movie. But my bar is pretty low going in, so that always helps. It fills in a void to the Natasha Romanoff story. We now know, you know, goings-ons for her post-Civil War. I still would like to see that her and Barton action movie of what happens in Budapest. However, I also really, really like the fact that we didn't spend, we sort of thought this was going to be a Romanoff origin story, and it wasn't that at all. We got 10 minutes of her as a young kid, you know, kind of parlaying that into the whole widow thing in general. But I like that they didn't waste time on that. Immediately post Cuba, we get into action stuff, and I really, really love that.
After we get a 2.5 minute version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
For the credits. I actually love the opening credits. I thought that was great.
A bit too long. Like, they did the entire song.
Well, it's credits. How short do you want credits to be?
90 seconds.
That said, as much as I like the opening and the middle, I thought the end was, I don't know, a little bit too mellow, a little bit too predictable. It just didn't have the pizzazz or the pop I was hoping for. And so it sort of doesn't leave a sour taste in my mouth. I was just like, all right, I loved the first 90, 100 minutes so much, and the last 20, 30, I could take or leave, really.
Yeah, so bring that back up in 1 second in spoilers, because I do want to talk about that final scene with the big bad.
But Goo, I have it at 34 hot dogs as well.
God damn it! Mac, you are my ghost of Christmas past. We are mirror villains.
Oh, this is horrible. And out of the 26 Marvel properties now, Loki will make 27 next week. I have it ranked 15th. Just behind
Ant-Man. God damn it, Mac. I got a 15 just behind Ant-Man. Do we share a mind? Like, I have it 15th just behind Ant-Man, but right ahead of Ant-Man 2.
So I have it just behind Ant-Man, just ahead of WandaVision. So WandaVision is 16th.
Okay, so like in this area, like I have Doctor Strange at 11, WandaVision at 12, Spider-Man Far From Home at 13, Ant-Man at 14, Black Widow at 15, Ant-Man and the Wasp at 16, and then Captain Marvel at 17.
I got Strange at 10, Civil War at 11, Ant-Man and the Wasp 12, Iron Man 13, Ant-Man 14, Widow 15, WandaVision 16, Marvel 17, Far From Home 18.
So we're really like in that same patch there. Like
it's sort of in that same tier.
I think it's a great like middle of the pack, and that's not an offensive thing to say about the movie because these movies are all great.
No, we're comparing it to the Ant-Mans of the world. We love those movies.
It's a great middle of the pack movie that you don't really need to like pay that much attention to, just because there's a lot of great action. Just pick up any random action scene.
Sort of to your point about the Halloweening, the shows are going to have a way more ween than the movies are because they waste so much time. This doesn't have that. So I know you're really tied to WandaVision, but we don't give a fuck about paying homage to old television shows in the context of the MCU. We don't care about that.
Did you not watch Nick at Night? Did you not watch Nick at Night?
The last two episodes of WandaVision is all you need.
Speaking of 1995, thank you.
Seven episodes.
Thank you for bringing that up. Speaking of 1995, Goo, I spent most of my time watching Nick at Night, and what they would do during the summer is they would do summer block parties where they would do one show all night. This is the original binging. Nick at Night had it. You would watch, say, on Tuesday night, Happy Days. Wednesday night, Laverne and Shirley. Andy Griffith Show on Monday. Lucy on Fridays. I can't think of another show. I'm blanking.
So a lot of what this movie is being compared to is those Bond and Bourne movies, but also Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And I think I have Winter Soldier up at 37 hot dogs, number 7. And the difference between the two is this lacks a real standout action scene. It's got a number of them, but there's no like phenomenal one. There's no bridge scene. Winter Soldier has like 3 of them.
Well, so you know? I also think that Winter Soldier, when it comes to like a mind-blowing twist, there was like 3 or 4 in there, whereas this one tried to have them, and none of them were truly twist. Like, none of them truly threw me through a loop of like, whoa, they got motorcycles? No, none of them were like crazy.
But they knew they couldn't really do that because they had to fit in this box, right? So there wasn't a ton they could do in terms of that. The other difference between this and Winter Soldier is Winter Soldier finishes much stronger than this does.
Yeah.
There's not this whole happy-go-lucky family thing at the end. It's a really incomplete finish in Winter Soldier. We don't know where it's going, partly because that was made, you know, 6 years ago, and this had to fit into a box. So we knew where it was going. And so I think, you know, you can compare it to that. It's Winter Soldier light.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Winter Soldier.
And then when comparing it to other movies from this year, I have this at number 2, but it's kind of tied. It's like
number 2.
Well,
wow.
It's kind of in there with like Raya and A Quiet Place Part 2, and then Nobody's right after that. So like it's right around that area.
Okay. So I have seen 16 movies. I've also watched like half movies. I got to finish Luca. Luca's not great. It was just okay. Fell asleep during it. And then there was one other one I tried to watch that I haven't finished yet. But
well,
I have this
movies
number
are
5.
Back. So movies are back.
Movies are back. I've watched 16. I have this 5th. Ahead of it, Judas still. Nobody at 2. In the Heights at 3. A Quiet Place Part 2 at 4. Mm-hmm. And this slides in nicely right after A Quiet Place Part 2, just above Raya.
So just quickly before we get into the spoilers from Mortis X, he wants to know if there's only one post-credit scene. And the answer is yes.
Right, right.
And this comes in from at Wesley Sykes. He is, of course, the co-host of my more popular podcast, Get Help a Loki podcast. And did Natasha secretly steal and take Super Soldier Serum? I don't think that she did, but I wouldn't be surprised if she was given it without her being told, because she is able to take quite the beating.
Yeah. That said, though, we see what the secret Super Soldier Serum does, right? Because Red Guardian had it, and he is way more powerful than those two. So, you know, I wonder, they probably are on some sort of PED, but it's
saying,
not
like,
Super Soldier
maybe
Serum.
Like the, you know, Red Guardian took steroids, like a Barry Bonds like steroids, whereas Natasha took like a designer drug HGH.
Yeah, right. It was more official. More
all right,
detailed.
Let's go ahead and get into some spoilers. Spoilers, spoilers,
spoiler
spoilers.
Alert, spoiler alert. Spoiler
so
alert.
So first off, with that final interaction there between Natasha and
Dracoff.
So this might have docked a dog, and I understand what they're going for. This is how most spy movies, especially 70s and 80s, go. James Bond, you have the big bad explaining his entire plan.
Yeah, but that's Widow's thing.
But
you
I'm
know?
So out on that.
But that's what she does. So you just don't like the character, I guess.
No,
that,
I do like the character.
Thing,
I don't.
But her whole thing is getting people to do that. That's all she's ever done.
Yeah, but he has the pheromones, Mac, and he created her. He should have known.
I understand, but that's just what she does. We have to accept that. I mean, if you don't like that, you can't like the character, I don't think.
I did love, and this might have been like a semi-woe moment, is to break the pheromone hypnosis that she can't hit him and stuff, is she smashes her nose on the table. And
yeah,
before she does that, she goes, I thought you could have done it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a big pussy.
Yeah.
I guess I'll break my own nose. Again, the end was sort of predictable. I didn't mind that stuff. What really was a thorn in my side, and I think it's a first-time director thing, and she's not a first-time, but first-time big-budget director, first movie a lot of people are seeing of hers, Kate Shortland, she really wanted to hammer home this family aspect, right? And so you have the dinner in the past, dinner in the future. You have the Fireflies thing at the beginning, and the Fireflies thing at the end really bothered me. I was like, all right, we get it. We just had 10 minutes of them exchanging pleasantries. They're going on their way. You don't have to cut back to the Fireflies. We don't need that. This is not super artsy. This doesn't need to be done.
So now let's jump ahead to, I think, what people might be talking about the most from this movie, besides just the character of Yelena, but the post-credit scene where we get, once again, Elaine, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Valentina Allegra DeFontaine, and she approaches her, and of course, she's either building the Thunderbolts or the Dark Avengers. She's already approached the U.S. agent, Wyatt Russell, and she's like, hey, I have a mission for you, Clint Barton. What's up?
Yep, and so far, this is notable for a number of reasons. First of all, it is setting that up. You know, she is a dark Nick Fury,
yeah,
for lack of a better term.
She's building a suicide squad.
Yeah, essentially. And she's got U.S. agents. She's now got Florence Pugh's Yelena, who I don't know if we're going to be calling her Widow, what we will be calling her in the future. But I also think it's important because finally, and it is the first movie since the shows, but they've connected the shows to the movies.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do in the shows, at least not yet.
Well, they've talked about Ragnarok at least 100 times in Loki.
Yeah, but the shows have sort of blue balls dust in terms of like setting up something in the movies. But now we have that definitive connection. Julia Louis-Dreyfus has showed up here in the post-credit and at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier. So now those are officially connected. And we knew it was going to come together at some point. So I'm happy that's now happened. But I also want, we don't care about her character yet. So it's really hard to get behind what she's doing. And the other reason I think this is important is this now sets up the Hawkeye show really well, right? Because now Yelena is going to pursue Clint, and Clint will have, that's probably what he's going to be dealing with mainly while training his daughter to become, you know, a female Hawkeye. So I didn't really know what to expect for the Hawkeye show, but if she's going to be involved in it, I think I am now more excited.
Yeah,
for
and also what I like about it too is that she did have interactions and conversations with her sister about Clint and about Hawkeye. So she does at least know that they were allies, they were Avengers together, but maybe she deals more with like the Ronin aspect of Hawkeye and what he did during those 5 years where he murdered just a ton of people. And what Fontaine might be setting up is what the Sokovia Accords couldn't do. So the Sokovia Accords are supposed to keep the heroes in line. So what she is now doing is building a team of other heroes that will keep the heroes in line. So fighting fire with fire. You're a firefighter. How do you put out a fire?
Not with fire.
More
Not
fire.
With fire.
With more fire.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting to think about because they don't, like, U.S. Agent is a super soldier, I guess, but they don't have any real powerful beings yet. So I'm not sure they're going to be able to accomplish that task.
So they're either eventually going to add Zemo in there, or we're going to find out that maybe Zemo is funding this and Zemo is the person that's putting this together. But Zemo's mind, that is his superpower.
I guess so.
All right, so I don't want to go beat by beat with this movie because we've already talked about a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But do you like that with Yelena, we get like 4 minutes of her as a widow and then she's immediately brought back? Would you have liked to have seen maybe like one more mission ahead of time?
No, I really like that because it picked up mid-mission too. Mm-hmm. So it was like you could tell she was the alpha of the widows. She's sort of the leader of the widows, of the wiggles.
Of the widow babies.
So you could tell she was like the best one.
Yeah.
She's calling the shots and then she chases down the chick with those, you know, antidotes. And then I was a little confused as to what that red mist was. And then she like comes to, and I was like, well, that's sort of, if you need a mist to like clear something up, it almost says that they were misted in the first place, that they were chemically changed. And then later on in the movie, she does say your widow training was different than mine because they did inject us with some sort of chemicals and shit. So that was a nice little tidbit.
Yeah, because once Natasha broke free, they said we can no longer just break the will of these people. We now need to put chemicals in them to mind control them.
Right. And it also gave, because, you know, we knew about the Red Room and the Widow program, sort of this whole run of the MCU. I don't think we really understood how expansive it was. And this movie kind of sheds light on it.
Yeah,
that.
And this movie got more into like the human trafficking of it. More than any of the other ones. And then, of course, you get the scene on the plane where she's explaining, they took out my fallopian tubes and my uterus.
Yeah, that was harsh.
But they did it in a very light fashion, which got a lot of laughs in the theater.
Right. Harbor's reaction was great, too. I really liked him trying to be a dad because he had no idea what to do. Like, he realized he loved these girls, but he had never really showed them love post-1995. And I also really liked, you had mentioned it earlier on, how everyone had viewed that Ohio setting differently.
Yeah.
You know, Harbor and Wise were there to do a job. ScarJo, she viewed it as a family, but she didn't really want to admit it because she was adopted into
that. And
she
had that photo book, and she's like, on that Christmas morning or that fake Christmas morning where they celebrated three holidays at once, I opened all those presents because I wanted it to be real.
Right. Whereas Yelena, Florence Pugh's character, was too young to really grip all of that. And so she viewed that as her actual family, real, genuine experience. So that was a really interesting dynamic to watch them all sort of tell each other how they felt about that time. Because, I mean, neither of us experienced it. But I wonder, it's sort of, older child, middle child, younger child, all that sort of dynamic shit. I'm an older child. You're a middle child. So
don't tell me what I am.
You view things through a different lens than your older brother or younger sister. I view things through a different lens than my younger siblings. So it's interesting to sort of work that in. I thought that she did a nice job of that.
So I generally hate brainwashing in movies, but I don't think this was a huge distraction with it because it wasn't like, you know, like the weird eyes and everything else. And they're like, ooh, spooky stuff. Yeah. So at least it wasn't that bad. So I'm not docking any dogs for that. I do generally dock dogs for brainwashing, cloning, everything else, but yeah. None for that. Also, I love that Yelena loved her vest.
Oh, please, won't you see my vest? I really like the vest.
I got it, yeah.
Where the fuck is that? Is that Mr. Burns?
Yeah, it's from The Simpsons. Mr. Burns wants to kill the Simpsons' 26 puppies to make a vest.
They're doing a whole Cruella de Vil thing. Okay,
I get it. My loafers, former gophers. I could have grabbed the whole song if you wanted me to.
The vest thing was nice, and we saw her wearing the vest at the end of the movie.
It's got a ton of pockets. It's like a cargo shorts.
I now have to go back and watch if she's wearing it at the beginning of Infinity War, right?
Oh, question for you. Are you going to buy this now, or Disney Access Plus, $30?
Of course not. No.
I might later. Might later. Yeah.
Why?
So me and my wife can watch it again. We liked it.
I mean, I spent $18 on a premium ticket at a movie theater, and I'll have to spend $30
to watch
it on
Disney Plus. That's because I'm supporting a local theater. I'm fine with giving them money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I saved $12.
And now I am supporting a small business known as Disney and keeping them in business.
By the way, we did not mention the main setting of the movie, the main year is 2017.
Yeah.
The post-credit does take place in current MCU time.
Yes, so at the grave of Natasha under the same tree
the
that she was
tree.
Told. Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, she made fun of the pose. I thought that was one of the funniest parts of the movie with
awesome.
The hair flip. And then later on, she tries to do it, and she's like, oh, that's gross. And her main thing is that she's upset that Black Widow, that Natasha defected and she never came back for her.
Right. And so this goes into the oldest, youngest child thing. Like she got everything because she was the oldest. I was the youngest. I got hand-me-downs, this sort of thing. No one came back for me and everyone cared about her. She became an Avenger. I got stuck in this bullshit.
Whereas Natasha viewed it as she's not my real sister.
Yeah. Or some people have these thoughts. She thinks she's so mad at her. She doesn't want to have that interaction because she doesn't want her back. And on the other side is all she wants is Natasha to come back.
And then, of course, we did have a couple of pretty sweet car scenes. And dare I say,
yeah, guys, there's motorcycles.
Yeah, there are.
That really played into the Bourne stuff. Like because of the European setting as well, it really felt like a Bourne movie or a Bond movie, you know, with the old gothic buildings and chase through narrow streets and alleyways. I love that aspect of it. That was the best part of the movie. And this is what I'm sort of thinking about when I compare it to Spider-Man Far From Home and say Captain Marvel. Like Captain Marvel had steady beats throughout and there was a great moment in the third act. Spider-Man Far From Home never really popped until the post-credit, which is why I think it's insane to have Spider-Man Far From Home higher than this movie.
I liked the movie. Maybe I have to watch it
we
again, but I
sort of
liked
it, I guess.
I liked the movie.
Yeah, I sort of liked it. I don't know. Black Widow was just so much more fun than that movie.
I really liked the breakout scene from jail, and I also really liked the interactions of Harbour's character with these two, with his two daughters. And pretty much, he was the scapegoat. He was created to be like the Captain America, but then he was used as like, hey, look over there and don't look at the Black Widow program.
Right. Yeah, true.
So in the comics, he does go up against Captain America, but here, the timelines don't add up, so he just makes up stories, which is hilarious.
Yeah, which I love. I love that.
I love that, too.
Because We've all been in the bar, right? Your towny bar where you got the old guy telling war stories about high school sports or college, whatever it is. And that's exactly what that
was. And then he asked Natasha later on, he's like, hey, did Cap ever mention me?
That's a great scene.
That was great. And I don't have it up right now, but if you go and you look at the Easter eggs of the tattoos that are on his chest, they all line up perfectly with a Russian criminal. So, like, he has handcuffs on, which means that he's been in prison for more than 5 years. He has stars on his shoulders, which means that he is a criminal. He has eyes on his tits, which means that he is ever seeing. So, like, if you just go through and you look at all of, like, they all line up. It's really well done.
I did make a point earlier of how sort of this movie flattens out in the finale or in the final act. But I did really love that Winter Soldier-ish twist-ish of her with the face-off. For some reason, didn't see it coming. And I like how they flash back to the conversation with, what's her name? Melania? I keep thinking about Melania Trump. Yeah, Melina. I loved how that plan, they didn't tell you the plan and kept revealing it as it happened. And you're like, all right, this is cool. I like
Were you hoping for a full penny scene between Harbor and Weiss?
I'll watch that. I'll absolutely watch that.
Because
that.
He was full of energy.
I did love that, how, and they call it out too, like he's been in prison for 20 years or whatever it is. And the first thing he asks about a Captain America, and then he wants to have sex with his wife, and he hasn't tried to fix the relationship with his two daughters.
Yep. So I really like the Final Supper. Like you said, they have a big old plan, and they're hiding out in the sky. So they are above the radar, if you know what I mean.
But then there was like stanchions too. So was it just a really, really tall building that was masked, that had a cloaking technology? I didn't really understand that. They like half-assed it.
That final scene of like debris falling from the sky and, you know, they're falling from like a giant space tower, little phase two-ish, but they got away with it.
I liked it though. I liked the gliding through the air. I liked the soldiers like shooting while in the air. There was something cool about that. I almost wish it happened earlier because it was so later on that I was like, all right, this is kind of meaningless. We know the good guys are going to get out here.
And then of course you just mentioned the good guys get out. And Natasha is just standing in the middle of a field as Ross and a bunch of army men are approaching her, and then it just cuts to black. So my question is, did they cut a deal? Did they fight? What happens?
Well, I think if you take down this gigantic Russian widow program, you probably get a get-out-of-jail-for-free card, right? I think that's like, all right, we'll call
Maybe,
it even here.
Do you just think that she said, hey, I'll find Cap. I'll find Captain America if you let me go right now.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there was part of it. Yep. Maybe something. I mean, she's the best at working these deals, right? She's the best at tricking people and getting people to say things. That's her whole deal.
So, yeah, I really liked the movie. I thought it was, once again, saying middle of the pack. I thought it had great action. I liked a lot of the new characters. I'm really interested to see what they do with the new Widow, what they do either with the Thunderbolts or the Dark Avengers. How they really play with, like, does she start out with the Young Avengers maybe? I don't know. Like, where do they take these characters from here?
Yeah, and we're going to get more of her. I think she's already been confirmed for the Hawkeye series.
Yeah.
So we're going to get more character development for Yelena there. And, you know, I didn't really have any expectations for the Hawkeye series. We've got Hailee Steinfeld cast as his daughter. So that'll be fun to see. I think she's great. It's going to be, I'm actually really looking forward to the interaction between Steinfeld and Florence Pugh, because I think they're both tremendous actresses. So that's going to be interesting to see where they take those two characters. We now have U.S. Agent as well. So we have these Young Avengers or these Fringe Avengers, these Dark Avengers, these people that are loosely connected to the Avengers but aren't Avengers. And it's going to be interesting to see how they bring them together during Phase 4.
Let's get into Maxack. And Maxack could be anything this week. It is not a boat, but just a quick look ahead at maybe the next couple of weeks or the next couple of episodes. Do we want to try and bang out a Loki episode for next Thursday, Friday? Because the season is ending on Wednesday, and the iron will be hot. And you know what they say about Iron Man? He fights the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah, I think we should do a Loki episode because I'm hoping it sets up the main bad for Phase 4.
Yeah.
It may not. There's a chance that it just goes full Loki.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm expecting big things out of it. But either way, now I think I'm so back in on Marvel, being back in the theater of it, we might as well just do Loki next week.
Okay. So we'll do Loki for Friday. quick, you know, yeah, I have another podcast, Get Help, a Loki podcast. And if you heard this past week, you would have found out that although I might not think that episode 5 is the best episode, I think that episode 5 is the funnest one so far and the one that I had the most smiles during. And that's worth something.
Yeah, and I think to my point about Loki being the best of the three shows so far, it is far and away the most cinematic of the three. The whole thing has felt movie quality.
So not to give anything away, but they do something in the last episode where I said, wow. And that's the first time I've said wow during anything, maybe since like episode 8 of WandaVision.
I agree.
They did something and I'm just like, wow, that looks great. That's looks really movie quality. That's really, really cool. So next week, we'll do Loki, a recap of the entire season for the end of next week. And then I know that you have plans coming up, so I'm not sure if you would have time for this, but do you want to do I Think You Should Leave for next Goosday?
For this upcoming Goosday?
Yeah.
I feel like I want to watch another 30 times before I'm confident.
I've already seen it 2.5 times. I'm pretty.
I've already watched it 4 times, yeah. But it's not nearly enough. Because I think back to, I remember when Dork did their episode on season 1. That was like a good 2 months after it debuted. And even then, my rankings have changed. So I really want to feel confident. And we're talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the best part about I Think You Should Leave is it's ever changing. Yeah. And I don't want to throw something out there and then 2 weeks later be like, you know what?
The and thing then be I haunted by the ghost of 19th. Christmas past.
Yeah. That said, so there's 24-ish sketches. Yeah. I Think You Should Leave season 2. I like 22 of them. There's only 2 I don't like.
I would say 15 or 16 of them I really liked. And then there's like 4 or 5 that are pretty good. And then there's like 2 that I just didn't really care
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I'm sort of
I'll also tip my hand. I prefer season 1 over season 2.
Oh, yeah. Season 1's highs are definitely better than season 2. Season 2 might be a little more consistent, though.
I think that season 2 has a little bit of an issue of the sketches are longer. Obviously, you're going 29 to 24 sketches. So there are some sketches that run a little too long. And they have an issue that, I'm not comparing it to SNL, but it has an issue that SNL has with a lot of their sketches where they just don't know quite how to end it.
Yeah, I'm not really getting that same vibe, but I don't really know how to phrase this. But I think that going into season 2, I sort of wanted them to pick up off of some sketches in season 1. And now having watched it a few times, I'm glad they didn't. It's its own thing. They didn't touch what was perfect in season 1. And it just did new things in season 2, which I didn't think I wanted. But now that I've seen it a few times, I'm super happy that he did that.
Okay, so we'll do a dump for next Tuesday.
I mean, I don't mind talking about it, but I think we need a couple more weeks to let it breathe.
Well, we're not going to talk about it twice. So
yeah.
So we either talk about this next Monday or the Monday after. You decide.
The more time, the better.
Okay, so let's do a dump for Monday. There's okay. a lot of shit that happened over this past week. So
okay.
do that, and then we'll all do right. Loki at the end of the week, and then we'll pick it up with I Think You Should Leave the Monday after that, Tuesday after that.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. We'll see. where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram, at MacAndGooPodcast. On every other platform, we are Mac_Goo. That's Mac Shift7Goo. It includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. That's the I cannot speak today.
It's the platypus that we want to put eggs in.
It is the Perry platypus. It's the platform I prefer. We are back on iTunes.
Apple Podcasts. Huzzah. Come on.
Yeah, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Apple Music. Fuck them all. If you get onto Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us, rate us, review us 5 stars. We'll get you a free t-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear.
Anyone that has written a review over the past couple months and has not received a shirt, please DM me and let me know just so I don't forget about you and we'll figure out what my deal is.
Figure out what you do. You had all summer to think of it.
Once again, that's a cut from Mac's mother.
Slide into the Mac and Goo DMs and tell him. From the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's right, Watertown Sportswear, 34 Mount Auburn Street in Watertown Square. The website's watertownsportswear.com, Watertown Sportswear, expert screen printing and embroidery.
tpublic.com, merch. And of course, Billy and I, more Billy, because Billy does great designs, launched.
Wait, Billy as in you?
You know who Billy is. Launched, and I Think You Should Leave t-shirt shop. And when you look at the design, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Also, like, the designs are so intricate, so the prices were a little bit higher.
You're upselling?
The pricing depends on how intricate the design is. That's really what it is.
Yeah. There it is. Picking it up on it. By the way, the funniest part of the whole Dan Flashes thing is when they cut to the guy in the store tracing the lines.
Yeah, that's really good. Also, the interaction of, they got this $2,000 shirt. You said it's a $1,000 shirt. Well, there's another one, too. I really want this one.
Shut the fuck up, Doug.
So that is up there. Right now, there is a sloppy steak shirt. There is a My Condolences shirt.
Oh, used
there
to be a
is
piece of shit.
Palm Tree Girls Love Palm Tree Guys. There's a lot of great stuff up there.
Johnny?
So, go and check that out. You guys know what the schedule is for next week. Tuesdays are Goose Days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
A good steering wheel that doesn't fly off while you're driving.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.